Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together, and we pray that we might hear your voice and know your presence as we are your disciples. So fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Scripture, three stories are important for guiding our sense of the church's identity, purpose, and activity. The Pentecost story gives us a sense of identity as the Holy Spirit is the one who fills the church with God's presence and God's energy. The story of Jesus commissioning the apostles gives the church a sense of purpose or direction, for we too are to go and make disciples of all nations. Today's reading gives us a glimpse of what the church is to do when it goes out into God's harvest field. It's an important story because it's a turning point, not just in Jesus' ministry, but in the life of the disciples. And I'd like to explore this story with you a little today. The first phase of Jesus' ministry might be described this way: I do, you watch. Jesus had been the one teaching and proclaiming and demonstrating the good news of God's kingdom as he moved from village to village. But the more Jesus does, the more there is to do. Each time God's kingdom arrives in one town, there are dozens of towns nearby that seem to miss out. How is God's kingdom going to reach everyone if Jesus can only go from one town to another? The harvest is plentiful, says Jesus. Another way of saying this is that the harvest is huge. In fact, it's so big, it's too big for one person to handle. So pray, says Jesus, for more harvest hands and helpers. In a heartbeat, Jesus then gathers his disciples together and sends them out to all the other villages, near and far. They've heard him teaching about God's kingdom in the synagogues. They've seen him proclaim the good news. They've been there while he's been healing the sick and curing every disease. But now, Jesus expects them to give it a go. He shares his authority with them, and he gives them some simple, easy-to-remember instructions. Stick to the Jewish towns, he says. Don't worry for now about the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Just go to those people that you know best. Do what you see me doing. Tell them that God's kingdom has drawn near. Show them what God's kingdom looks like by curing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing those who can't be near God, and freeing those who are imprisoned by unclean spirits. How's that for a tall order? I wonder how the 12 might have felt at hearing this. You want me to do what? I wonder if they felt excited or anxious, or maybe they just felt like new kids on a new bike, so keen to ride that it's only when they get on that they realize they've got no idea how to stay upright. It's at this point that I think that we as the church often get into trouble with the way we are used to hearing this story. We are used to hearing it as though it is an adventure story, and we lose sight of what's really going on. Don't get me wrong, I love adventure stories, and they all follow a simple arc, the hero's journey. This is when an ordinary person receives a call or is suddenly thrust out into a new situation. They begin to experience all kind of trials and failures, but they rise to the occasion and they overcome all the obstacles and opponents that stand in their way. They return home, a different person, a hero. Every Disney movie that you've ever seen follows this well-worn path, whether it's Moana or Elsa or Frodo, they all follow this pattern. But when we start to think of this story as an adventure, two strange things begin to happen. The first is that as Christians, we get focused on Jesus' authority. To put it another way, if we share Jesus' power, then we become really important. And if Jesus is the hero, then we get to be heroes too. Only when we make ourselves the hero of the story, we inadvertently turn everyone else into a victim who needs rescuing. So much of Christian history shows this sad pattern. When Jesus shares his authority with the disciples, every Christian all of a sudden seems to think that they have all the answers, that somehow we know what's really going on and that we should be the ones in charge. The second strange thing that can happen is that we think that authority is only for the boys. We get distracted by the fact that Jesus sent 12 men out into the villages of Galilee, as though this means that only men can hold authority in the church forever and always. When we end up in that situation, it seems like the whole mission of the church can only be accomplished by half the church's membership. To turn this story into a boys-only adventure is to miss four crucial parts of the story. The first part that we can easily miss is the nature of the disciples. Jesus chose people who were suited well enough to do the job. Think of it this way. In a world where women were unable to move between villages without harassment or scandal, it's no wonder that Jesus chose 12 men to do well enough. He's limiting his mission here to fit their limited horizon. But these are far from perfect people. Some are loud and forthright, like Simon Peter, a Galilean fisherman who was known for his hard work and common sense. Others are far more controversial, like a former tax collector called Matthew, or a militant zealot hothead called Simon. Others, like Bartholomew, are so quiet that they stay so far out of the limelight that we barely know anything about them. But Jesus gives everyone the opportunity to join in. Even Judas Iscariot is given the opportunity to serve. The second detail that we can miss is the motivation from which all of this ministry flows. Jesus shares his authority with the disciples because he has compassion for the crowds that he's meeting. Jesus sees what is happening and he has a gut reaction. His mercy is stirred and his heart is moved. And so his disciples are authorized to use his power, not to get whatever they want, but to extend this compassion into the world. Which brings us to the third point. What is the harvest that Jesus sees? If we focus on authority, if we see ourselves as the hero who needs to rescue everyone, all we will ever see is people who need to get to heaven. But what Jesus sees is something quite different. What Jesus sees are the consequences of terrible leadership. What he sees are people who are harassed and torn and fleeced by the predators that hold power. This is what sheep without a shepherd means. What he sees is a land without compassion, without justice, a land where people just can't breathe. The final detail is that the disciples are to share what has been given to them. They are to be generous, to let others in on what, or rather, who they know. They are to be agents who work with those who are ready and who are desperate for change. It is out of their compassion that people are set free. It is out of their mercy that powerlessness is overcome. It is out of generosity that laborers like them might join in the harvest. So things like ignorance and illness, violence and exclusion and oppression, they are given the authority to break those powers. Paul makes it very clear that Jesus did not come to rescue helpless victims of sin, but rather to set free captured sinners, so that they might become citizens who continue the mission of Jesus in the world. Friends, we live in a world where there are far too many people who simply can't breathe. It's tempting to think that we are the ones who are called to be heroes, the ones who will rescue these powerless victims. Only that is not how Jesus works. The world does not need any more heroes. It needs people who are filled with compassion, people who are willing to help others, to understand God's heart, how to use their God-given power to set people free so that new things might grow. This is our story. Not one of being heroes who rescues victims, but companions who help people be creative so that together we can build a world where there is life and peace and justice for all. Amen.